Blog Talk Radio.
Exploration. Love. Healing. Magic. You've entered a very special place where anything can happen. Stay inside your ride, but be prepared to expand your consciousness. Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse.
Woo! Here we are. Another Friday night with wonderful co-host, a very special guest speaker, and so much to be thankful for and grateful for. So welcome, everybody. Got all kinds of things to talk about. But first of all, I want to say hello to our special guest, Janet Whitener, who is very well known out here, in Orange County, California, and across the country, and has international following as well. And Janet, we're looking forward to hearing from you and Arrow this evening.
Thank you for that wonderful welcome, Adrienne. Looking forward to it.
You're more than welcome. And without a doubt, let me say hello to my dear friends, Michael J. Espinoza. Hello, Michael.
Hello. Good morning. Good afternoon. Evening. Everybody, hello. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I guess good morning to me. I need to come into the day.
Yeah. Wake up. Wake up, Buttercup.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, goodness.
See what's up.
Yeah. And Mr. Lawrence Birch, how are you this evening?
Hey. I am doing very well. Thank you for asking. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And how's
the
Adrienne?
You know, I'm so glad that you asked. I'm doing well. Feel good. A little fatigued, mm-hmm. but you know, other than that, feel good. Feel really good. Mm-hmm. So, So lots of stuff. Lots of stuff going on, and I want to take care of a couple of little things right away before we get too deep into the show. Number one, you know, is the legal department. And the legal department always asks that we make sure that we tell our callers that if they are in need of legal advice, medical advice, or psychological advice, you know, please seek a professional in those fields. All of us are very well trained and educated and experts in what we do. But if you have any of those particular issues, go ahead and seek the advice of someone that's available to you to handle those particular issues. The other is, you know, we are doing what we can to expand our listenership, and we would greatly, greatly appreciate it if you would tell your friends about the show, if you would like us, if you would love us, if you would follow us, that would be just wonderful. And we are on all of the major platforms, so that's Spotify and Amazon and Google, and I know there's one more or two more. I'm not sure. I can't remember.
Apple.
Okay, very good. Yeah. So, again, you know, see if you tell a friend. Tell a friend. We'll just keep it simple. Tell a friend.
Absolutely.
So, I want to go back to our co-host and ask you, Michael, if you have any announcements that you'd like to make, and could you also include your contact information in case somebody would like to reach out to you to book a session?
Absolutely. You can reach me at michaeljespinoza.com. You can go to my website and reach me there. You can also text or call me at 562-457-0457. And there is a holistic fair that's coming up. It is, I believe it's a week from tomorrow, and that's going to be at Heartspace OC. That is in Laguna Woods, and I will be reading there with my co-host, Adrian Stratton, and also Janet Whitener will be there as well. So three of us will be there. And maybe one day Mr. Laurence Birch will start working there too.
Maybe one day.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, and that's from 11 to 5. So come on down. You can go to heartspaceoc.com and find the location there, and there's more information.
Wonderful. Yeah, thank you for that. Thank you. And Janet, also, do you have any announcements? And how do people reach you if they want to connect and schedule an appointment with you?
I enjoy supporting HeartSpace. They do wonderful work connecting people that are needing these kind of support systems, what we offer in the readings, the information, and I think sometimes just the emotional connection that they can feel heard is so important. And one of the things that I really like about the, they call it a fair that happens the last Saturday of each month, is you have a lot of options in the different types of people that are doing different types of energy work and readings. But they also offer a free service where you can either in person or via Zoom attend a lecture hall. And every 30 minutes, a different presenter shares their information, answers questions, demonstrates their work. I typically channel during the session I have in the lecture room. So please feel free to attend in person or via Zoom. To reach me personally, I always suggest the quickest way is to text me, and my number is 949-547-8204. I do my best to respond within a day.
Very good. Very good. Thank you, Janet. And Lawrence, how about you? Do you have an announcement? And how do people reach you?
I'm going to announce that summer is pretty much over. So, in case you're wondering, the weather's about to change up here in the Northwest. We're getting our last couple days of sunshine, and then we're going to have a big rainstorm that's going to last for most of next week. So, doing everything to soak up Father Soul and get that into our systems, store it up for the upcoming fall weather, because it goes away up here quite a bit usually on my side of the mountains anyway. I'm madly picking the last produce of the season. I'm going to make some applesauce and some salsa out of tomatillos and my last tomatoes. So that's what's happening up here. So if people are interested in getting some shamanic healing or some herbal work, you can contact me via my phone number, call or text, 541-344-7534. My email is givingtree@earthlink.net. I have a Facebook page that is Giving Tree Farm Herbs, and my website is givingtreefarm.com.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
How about you, Adrian?
Yeah, well, So like Michael and Janet, I will also be attending and doing readings at the upcoming Holistic Fair, which is the 30th. It's always the last Saturday of the month. And so I'll be there providing mediumship readings as well as intuitive tarot card readings. And it's always a wonderful time. Great community. I've met some fabulous people, and I hope that people will support it and join us. If people are interested in contacting me directly, they can call or text me at area code 714-376-7289 or look at my website. There's a lot of information on there, including events, interviews, and contact information. My website is ravenmessages.com. So that's how you find me. And okay, all right, Janet, I'm so excited about having you on and talking and sharing a bit about yourself and you know, and a little bit about your history, and then we'll kind of move into questions and answers as well. But so if you would, let me just start off by asking you, let me read here just a couple of things. And, you know, without a doubt, when I think about you, I think about, you know, what a beautiful person you are, and the energy that is about you, and, you know, the grace and humility that you present, you know, your healing gifts with. And so it's been just a joy to get to know you. We know that you are a channel of Arrow, and as well as a psychic medium and animal communicator. And those were things I thought about the mediumship, but I didn't know that you were an animal communicator. So I just think that that's something else that's just fabulous about you. And you started Spirit Revealed itself to you very early on at age 5. So take it from there and share with us, please, the next little bit, and then we'll move into asking you some questions.
All right. Thank you so much. I'm kind of listening to everything you said, and I go, wow, I really do all that. I know that sounds funny, but I'm usually looking outward, not inward. So, yeah, animal readings have always been one of my favorites. As a child, we lived next door, our neighbor, when I was about 4 or 5, I think we left when I was about 7 or 8, he raised hunting dogs, and he always had great big build-outs for the moms when they gave birth and to raise the pups, and he got over finding me in there with the dogs after a while, but and the moms would treat me like one more puppy, you know, and I would listen to all the puppies. I would listen to the mom. I didn't realize that other people couldn't do that. And so I was always telling the man what the mom was looking for in terms of it was too cold or it was too warm or she was hungry. And I think after a year or two, realizing there was something to it, he actually started asking me what the dogs telling him, and then he'd go, what am I doing? I'm talking to a child. So I just laugh at that memory. Growing up in a family that didn't appreciate me being able to tell them things they didn't want to hear was stressful. And my mom shut it down. It upset her quite a bit. She felt very uneasy that if I could hear good messages, what was giving me the message. Was it a good thing or a bad thing? So after a lot of turmoil with my mom, I just had to tell him to go away. And it was hard. It was very hard. But I moved from that into reading. And I taught myself to read when I was about 4 or 5. And I would just, I didn't realize at the time what was happening. Spirit told me later that what they were doing by asking me to read everything I could get my hands on, I averaged about a book a day. I still do. But they were helping me build a database of language and word usage. And through the stories I was reading, the morals of our time and the characteristics of people, so that when I did start my work as a channel, they had this huge database of information that I'd taken in through reading, obviously through television and my interaction with other people. So when I was 19, the one thing I did for myself, I decided I wanted a college education, and I set it as my goal. And I managed to put all the pieces together with scholarships and grants and working a couple jobs, and I was excited that I was getting close to my goal. And I was on my way to take finals, which still is the only part of this that really makes me mad. I was on my way to take finals my junior year. And I was in my beautiful little Volkswagen Bug, loved my little Bug, and stopped at a light, looked up at the rearview mirror, and realized the car behind me was not going to stop. So a station wagon, driven by a very inebriated person, my Bug basically became an accordion. Really nice fireman cut me out of that vehicle and kept me company. And then in the ambulance on the way to the hospital, I remember thinking, I just want to go to sleep. And it felt like I was going to sleep. And then something moved, and I realized that I was bumping up against the ceiling of the ambulance. And I thought, that's odd, because I could look down and see my body and see the guys bent over my body. And then I went right through the roof of the ambulance. And so I didn't know at that time. Later, I heard the term near-death experience. I went, oh, that's what that was. But in that adventure, on the other side, I'll never forget. It's been 50 plus years, but I'll never forget. I found myself sitting on a bench looking out over what looked to me like a national park, just beautiful trees and shrubs and flowers and all sorts of living things getting along with each other. And the sky was such a unique color. The only time I ever saw that color of the sky again is one time I saw sunset in the desert, and that turned a purple color, like a lavender purple, and that was the color of the sky when I was on the other side. And I was just completely peaceful. There's no place I needed to be, nothing I needed to do. I was so content in that moment. And someone came up behind me and put their hands on my shoulder, and before I even said anything, they said, Of course you can stay. Of course you can. This is your home. But before you decide, always be careful when Spirit says but. Before you decide, we want to remind you why you wanted this lifetime. And they talked to me about wanting to heal shame and wanting to learn to work with trust and truth, the energies of trust and truth. And as soon as they said those two words, I was like, yeah, and I haven't done that. I don't think I've had a lot of trust, and I don't know the truth. And then I was falling back off the bench and into a body, laying on a gurney in a hallway with a sheet over most of me, and made new friends in a hurry when I sat up. So, yeah. And at first they said, oh, you know, we don't know if you're going to be able to walk again. And I'm like, oh, hell no. No, I was a runner. I was a jogger. I loved running. It was my escape from the stress of my life at the time. It's like, no, I'm not giving that up. So there was severe damage, broken neck, and it I lost the use of my right arm and my hand, and I'm right-handed, for about a year and a half before they could arrange surgery to take care of what was happening with the vertebrae and the discs in my neck. So it was an adventure. It gave me such a perspective that I'd never had before, because a lot of people treated me like an invalid, and it always amused me because I'm like, I'm perfectly capable. Granted, what I do with my left hand isn't as neat and pretty, but and I just remember that sense of they don't see me the way that I do. And then spirit would come through, and that embrace of we know who you are would be the comforting, again, putting me back in balance. And people ask me now, the things that I teach and the stories I share, is like, did spirit just tell you this? How did you learn to do it? But everything I teach, I went through personally, learning through my work, my personal work with Arrow, the one that I is my gatekeeper. So a gatekeeper is an entity on the other side that basically helps decide what other energies are going to come through and work with you, and they set the vibration. So with Arrow as a gatekeeper, only unconditionally loving energies can come into my space. And that became important when I started working with other people, because a lot of them didn't have unconditionally loving entities attached to them. So that was an interesting thing to learn as well. So Arrow, and their name is spelled A-E-R-O, and I have been working together since I came back and chose the light and chose to go forward. But I really didn't have the connection with them. I could feel them, but I couldn't hear them. I didn't understand, other than I would feel the emotional support like I had felt as a child. And so I did some classes, some seminars with Concepts Energy. And in the audience, there was this woman, and I just was fascinated with her. I in 3 days of seminars, and I finally followed her into the ladies' room, and I'm like, what is wrong with you? You don't know this woman. You're following her. God bless her. She was so sweet. She turned around. She goes, hi, I've been seeing you the last couple of days. I'd like to introduce myself. And she shared her name, and she said, it could be that you want to know more about me because I teach channeling. And I said, yes. So that's how I met Sean Randall, and I took wonderful lessons with Sean and Torah for a period of time, and basically got booted out at one point because it's like, you're done. There's no more. Go. Go and do your work. I think the temptation for people is that, well, either you're, I remember someone said to me once, oh, you must be so advanced. That's why they chose you. And I'm like, no, it's because I was so broken. That's why they chose me. I think that people, the hard thing for me is people try to give me the credit. And I'm like, no, I'm the messenger. They're the message. They give the message. They bring the information. I do have a job to do, and that's to keep myself as clear as a channel as I can be, to put aside my emotions, my uncertainties, my preconceived notions of what it's supposed to be. And that didn't come easy. I learned those things through my personal work with Arrow. And so many of my stories, which I think are a huge part of learning how to do things, is hearing other people tell their stories. You learn about them. You learn about their experiences. We tend to tell stories about the events that shaped us, that became determining in our life. And I share those stories. And it kind of makes me laugh because people always say I teach channeling. And I always want to remind you that the official title of the class is Personal Development Through Working with Spirit. And then it always gets shortened to channeling. But I have had the privilege of working with some really talented people. So I've learned to love what I do. And but it is a work, and there's a lot of misconceptions to clear up, but I can't give it up. I'll be doing this work till the day I finally choose to depart this life. Yeah.
Love it. Love it. You have quite a personal history, to say the least. And it's just really remarkable, I'm sure. So many of the things that you've been through, and I know you just are sharing just the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. I know that we have a lot of callers. I know that we have people, lots of people listening in, but I do want to take probably another, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, maybe that long, before we jump into the callers, and ask you just some questions, mm-hmm. Janet. So I was wondering, why do you work with spirit, and what does your work look like?
Wow. Okay. Why do I work with spirit? It's joy. There is nothing that feels the same as being blended with spirit and seeing the light they bring and the impact when people are open to hearing the message. I can feel the shift in them as they let go of the fear, let go of the pain. I can feel as they accept the comfort of the love and the reassurance that's being offered. It's like a miracle every time. I never take it for granted. It's more awesome today to work with spirit than when I first started. I see we're working now on a book. You would think I would have done this a while ago, but we're creating what I call a basic primer on how to create your own reality. And it's built upon the 40 plus years I've been working with them. But I took everything in the beginning as a hypothesis, and I would do my best to test it and break it and test it and break it. And there's a lot of things I tried, and it never worked with it. When they spoke the truth, it was the truth. And that is what I was seeking. And I've come to understand that all of us have within us a piece of us that recognizes truth when we hear it. And once you discover that in yourself, it becomes so much easier to make choices about where what works and what doesn't work and what's going to be in your best interest. And determining when the need is real has become kind of fun, I guess, in a way. And not knowing trust in spirit, and that was a hard lesson to learn. When I first started channeling, we were in channeling class and we channel for each other. And then the teacher brought in people from the outside, quote unquote, non-students. And we did readings for them. And so the first time as I was channeling Arrow, I would like monitor them. Are you sure? Can you double check that? And one of the first readings they did was for a woman who'd come in with a question about property she'd inherited. But part of the information she needed to locate the property had been missing, and she was asking for any information that spirit could bring about that, about her question. And Errol brought in some names, and he said, those are street names, and this is the county name. And she left, and I'm like, what did you do? I have no way of proving that. I have no way of comforting her. And I was just, like, so upset. I'm laughing now, but I really was at the time. And God bless that woman. She came back the next week to share with me that she found the property using the information Errol had given her. That was one of my first humblings, and I'm
Love
grateful
it.
For it. I've had several
Love
along
it.
The way. I think what happens is I call it cracking the egg. I get to a place in my work with spirit. I use Arrow and Spirit interchangeably because I work with more than just Arrow. Just Arrow made me laugh. But it's like you get to a place where you're expanded and you start to feel the edges, and I think I got this, and I think I know what they're doing, I think I know where we're going, and then it breaks open and gets bigger. And now a whole brand new set of work and things to do. Yeah.
Wow.
So why
That's
do I work with
Spirit?
It's fascinating. It's the exact word. It's everywhere. Spirit is in every molecule and every atom. I think the best definition of love I ever have come across, and the one I live with now, was given to me by Arrow and friends. And they say, you know what an, you've heard of what atom, right? You know what an atom is. I'm like, yeah. Now picture it the size of a basketball. Okay, got that. And then inside that space of that basketball, there's two or three bright, shiny things. We're going to call those electrons, protons, neutrons, right? Yeah. You see all the space around them? Mm-hmm. That's love. Mm. That's the energy of love. Mm. And the first time they told me that, it's like my brain kind of froze up. Because I knew it was the truth, but I couldn't quite digest it. And over time, the more I work with it, it's so incredible. It's like, no wonder we can create our own realities. When we start understanding the building blocks that we're working with down to the level of atoms, yeah, it's so it's fascinating. It's fun. It's not easy. People think, I've heard so many people tell me, oh, it's a gift. And I've done my best, and I have never yet actually kicked anyone in the shin who said that to me. It comes with weight and responsibility like every other talent, skill, and ability. And sometimes it's very difficult because I work through my emotional body. And so I feel what I'm reading. Yeah.
Yeah, love that. Michael, do you have a question for Janet?
Not right now. I had the mute button.
Okay.
Not right now. I'm just so engrossed in what she's saying. Well, so you say you work with Arrow plus others. Have the others shown themselves and identified themselves to you? And how many are there?
Oh boy. We're going to start a party now. They're still identifying themselves. I'll name names you may not recognize, and that's fine. I was sitting one day in a park, and I could feel spirit all around me, and I knew it was an Arrow, but I knew if they had found a way to connect with me that they'd been stamped with a seal of approval. So I reached out and just opened up and started receiving, like, images. And the first image I got was the Earth, and I was seeing the Earth from the from beyond the Earth, outside maybe, looking from where I might think Mars is. And then they brought me closer and closer and closer in, and I realized there was like a web around the Earth, equidistant, like here is the Earth and an equidistant, this incredible web. And it was a web of light. And they said, that's us. We are the weavers of the web. And I'm like, it's beautiful, it's incredible, but I don't know what that means. And then they started showing me the creation of the Earth. And it's still, I'm just got goosebumps all over me. It's still to this
I did
day.
Too.
It's, yeah, it's just fascinating. And over time, different groups that are associated with the weavers of the web, Vedic energy, a lot of fairy energy, a lot of... I can't even name them all. Sometimes they don't want their names to be said, and that's okay. But that was interesting. Why don't they want their names to be said? It's because names have vibration, just and sometimes we're not ready for the impact of hearing particular vibratory sounds. And after I met the weavers of the web, and they do come in from time to time, and I learned through them that humans can have impact on the Earth by sending love and light. In other words, calling in love and light from God, Goddess, all that is, receiving it, and then funneling it directly into the Earth. And then it bounces back into the web, and it becomes an ongoing movement of light. And it's beautiful. If you're able to see it, it's beautiful. If you're able to feel it, so when there is distress in the world, Ukraine is an example, Russia is an example, so many places where the floods are, where the fires are. And sometimes before I'm even aware, I'm called to be of service because spirit has no impact on the Earth without a physical landing place. And so when you agree to work with spirit, you are agreeing to be of service. One of the most challenging things is one day I was half asleep waking up and I heard a voice say, will you be of service? And I'm like, yes. And I immediately was seeing a forest and I could hear people yelling and I could hear them running. And as they went by me, I couldn't keep count. There was like a dozen, maybe 14, and they were firefighters. And I could see the wall of flame behind them, and it was moving like a tornado. I'd never seen anything like it. And they were trying to get into their shelters and trying to shelter because they couldn't outrun the fire.
Wow.
And they asked me, some of these stories are still hard to say out loud.
Yeah.
So I was there to help them transition.
Mm.
Yeah. I was help them transition. So they'd step out of the physical, almost like through me, and then spirit was there to lift them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why sometimes I'm tempted to kick people when they say, oh, it's a gift. No, it's a job. It's a job.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful job.
Oh, my.
But I have fun story. Let me share a fun story after that.
Yeah,
fun story.
Sure.
Because I only worked with Errol and channeled. And after a few years, Errol said, we really would appreciate it if you would start doing intuitive readings. And I'm like, I don't know if I can do that. Yeah, you can. And the more you develop your intuition and your psychic abilities, the greater platform you're going to give us. And I'm like, okay, I can do that now that I know what it's about. So I contacted someone I know that had a store where readings were happening. And she said, sure, come on down, give it a try. So about my third day in, this lady comes in and I could feel her grief, just feel it. And she sat down across from me and she couldn't even speak. And I just reached out to touch her hand for a minute. And I said, you know, before you begin, can I just share something that's happening in the room? And she goes, okay. I said, I hope this makes sense to you because I don't really understand it, but there's this dog. It's a Great Dane, I think. It's big, it's a very big dog, and his ears are up, and he looks like this. But he's belly crawling. I've never seen a dog do that before, but he was on his belly and using his front paws to pull him forward, and he's like looking at her for permission to be in the room, and she lost it, just sobbing and crying. She goes, that's why I'm here, because he died.
Aww.
So I was able to reunite her with the spirit of her dog, and they had been best friends and companions for like 12 years, and that was a really good day. That was a good day to be a channel. Yeah.
Absolutely. I love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Lawrence, do you have a question for Janet?
Well, I'm trying to get rid of all the onions that showed up in the room, so I'm a little distracted by that. I guess that, you know, my question would be something along the lines of what you see. It seems like, you know, in listening to you talk about your work, Janet, that it's constantly evolving. And I guess, you know, it seems like the spirits are bringing you new tasks to complete and even new techniques and things to learn. So I guess
that's the cracking, you know, of the egg.
what do you think, what do you foresee coming up for you that's new for you on the horizon? Have they shared that with you, or is that still a secret?
Yeah, a little bit. So I'm kind of looking at you like, thanks, Lawrence. The first question you ask me is to be this one. For years, I'll be honest, I would ask Errol, are you sure you picked the right channel? Could you please double check? I'm the one. I'm the right one. Yeah, so, and always the answer is yes. Yeah, please trust us, yes. And about 2 years ago, Errol came in and said, we want to introduce you to our teacher. And I'm like, okay, I don't know who that is. And he goes, you do. You do know her. You know her from many lifetimes, and you know her as the goddess. And I was like, oh, hell no. I don't know what this is about, Arrow. Arrow, is that you? Like, yes, we know. You're hesitant. But, and so yeah, over the last 2 years, the goddess energy has come through when I least expect it, right? And always has such a profound impact on the person that is present. She's come forward in some of my classes. As a matter of fact, I was so unsure. I have a group of students. I call them my advanced group. They've been working in a group, some of them since 2018, and very committed, very talented, very well educated. That's a bad joke at this point. And Errol came in. I thought, oh, good, Errol's going to channel, and basically said, we love you, put his arms around me and pulled me out, and the goddess energy came forward. And I was out completely. I'm an unconscious trans channel anyway, but in this case, it was like 100% disconnect. And when I came back in the room, and it was a Zoom, and every student was sobbing. And I thought, oh, my God, what happened? And when they could finally speak, they were saying all these amazing and wonderful things in I could no longer pretend that I didn't have this connection to the goddess energy.
Love it.
I guess.
Absolutely,
I guess,
love it.
Yeah. It's like I keep having to get bigger, stronger so I can hold more. I don't know what's beyond this, but it's yeah. It's very different. You would think each spirit would be the same because they're based in unconditional love, but that's like saying each person is the same. One of the talents I have that I didn't even know was a talent was that I can sense other people's higher self. I can hear them. I can speak with them. I can sense and speak with their spirit guides, and whether they're their male, female, or specialty spirits coming in to work with them.
Love that. Love that.
Yeah.
Well, Janet, listen, we all just are just paying such close attention here to everything that you're saying, and we've got a lot of callers now. I know, Michael, you had maybe one more question, but we can wait perhaps for a little
sure.
bit later and just jump
yeah.
into some of the callers. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
If the caller would please say their first name, what they like to answer to, and maybe like today's date. That way, Arrow and I can get a sense of them and be able to find them energetically.
Sounds good. All right. Well, let's go to the board, and looks like we have a caller here. This is area code 203. Could you please state your name? Tell us where you're calling from.
I'm calling from Connecticut. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Pat.
Hello.
Pat.
Hello. Hi there. So always good to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, and of course, today's date is 9/22. So, you're on the show with our special guest, Janet, who channels Arrow and friends, as well as Michael and Lawrence and myself. How can we help you this evening?
I'd love a personal reading, and either since you talked about animals, my dog that recently passed, or the energy around a man that I'm recently involved with, and it's a big deal because I haven't been involved with anyone for 25 years. So Would love.
Could you say
to.
the first name of the man?
Yes, it's Sam.
Hmm. Yeah. First, your dog says, "I'm napping."
Oh.
this little dog, and that's typical. When they go to the other side, they just like people. There's a process. There's not time, but there's a process. And he's already been back. This little dog. We think a male. Was this a little male dog?
Yes.
Yes. So he's been back a couple times to visit, and he's just fine. He misses his jingle. Did he have a collar with tags that made noise?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Yeah. So he says to us, I can't find the jingle. I'm missing the jingle. So we're letting him know that it's just fine. But he loved that sound. It made him feel very important. And he'll be back. He'll be back. He'll be back in dream time. He'll be back to snuggle with you. And he says to tell you it's okay if you get another, because you're good to you're a good dog mom. We like that. He's you're a good dog mom. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This man's found. Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Just that I need his help to find me another dog, if he can help me in that.
Oh, absolutely. Now he's awake. he's on the job. He says, on the job. Yes. We're listening for just a moment. Is there, he says there's a place they keep dogs, and it looks like kennels. We think it's a shelter. Is there an animal shelter? Yeah. So, you'll know. You go there, and you will know. He'll help you. You will feel your new friend. And we think it's actually quite sweet, because the one he has in mind, they're in the shelter because they lost their human. Their human died. Yeah. So
Is this a shelter that has his name in it, in the title, Chance?
We don't know, because he can't read. So we don't know. But what he says to us is you can work together to heal the grief. What a good dog. Yeah. So let's talk for just a moment about Sam.
Okay.
He wants to believe that there's a possibility. He's lonely, and he's been alone, and he's a little lost. He's a little lost in terms of, I know what a grocery store is. I know how to buy food. I know it can be fixed, but it's like he's out of his lane, what he's comfortable doing. And so when he's with you, it's not like he wants you to be the cook or anything like that, but he's comforted when he's with you because he knows who he's supposed to be. We're not saying it quite the way we want to. Let's see if we can find a better way to say that. He enjoys your company. He feels like he knows how to go forward in a partnership, where he doesn't know how to go forward alone. So he gravitates towards spending time with you, and he's so afraid of boring you that he doesn't hardly speak at all. Yeah. Is he quiet?
He'll speak about himself. The community. This is a guy that grew up in the projects. He is a tough guy that learned how to keep himself alive. So communication is not his forte. I speak really well. I don't want to intimidate him. I don't feel like he asks enough about me, so I kind of throw things in hopes that he wants to get to know me, because he doesn't speak much. Last night,
so
I was
be patient. Just be patient. He'd rather not speak because he's afraid when he speaks, it's a wrong word, a wrong way to say it. He's self-conscious. And, half of him wants to be involved, and the other half, he's so afraid of being disappointed. He's so afraid of being rejected that it's almost like, I'll just put a toe in. I'm not going to get too involved because, you know, she's going to close the door anyway. So what you're doing to reassure him is working.
Yeah. Okay.
So one day at a time, no rushing, just enjoy the moments together.
Okay. Lovely.
Thank you
so much.
Very good.
Lovely.
All right.
Lovely.
Yeah. Michael or Lawrence, did you want to add anything?
Well, that seemed pretty complete to me.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, Pat, thank you for calling in. Always good to hear your voice. And keep us informed. Go ahead.
I love your voices. They're all distinct and just beautiful. So I just want to say that. It's always nice to hear everyone talk. And thank you so much for this reading. I'm very, very grateful. God bless everybody.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thanks
for, bye. Thank you, Pat.
Thanks
for using your voice.
Bye-bye. Oh,
bye. Okay. Let's take the next call. Hello. Mm-hmm. This is area code 804. And you're speaking with Adrian and the team here at the Psychic Fun House. Who am I speaking with?
Hello, good evening. I spoke with y'all before. My name is Vernell, start with a V, like in victory. And I live in Virginia where we're about to get hit by a tropical storm. Yeah, I think they say it might turn into a hurricane before it hits North Carolina. Then it's going to come up over Virginia, especially in my area. And there's a possibility of tornadoes, so I'm hoping that I won't be dealing with that. And I have sons that live in Virginia. I hope they won't deal with it either. So
absolutely. So. Vernell, do you spell your name V-E-R-N-E-L-L?
There's an E after the L.
Okay. Very good. Thank you so much. And, of course, today's date is September 22nd, 2023. And so how can we help you this evening?
Okay, as the lady before me was talking about someone that she knows living in the projects, I live in the projects myself, and, they have inspections every year, and they have regular inspections, and they have special inspections where they have people from the head office coming over to inspect the apartment sometimes, and they have, like, a computer picking out a random number to say what apartment they want to come and inspect. And I was wondering if y'all might see, before I ask, they're supposed to come by starting next Tuesday up to October the 3rd. And I was wondering if y'all might see them coming by here to, inspect my apartment, if it's going to be one of the apartments they inspect. And also, if it's okay, one of my boyfriend, Charles, he had passed away back in March of 2020. I wonder if he comes by to visit me.
Mm-hmm. All right. So first, we think there's a lot of delays coming because of the weather and the impact of the weather. They will be coming to inspect. It's not yet determined which apartment numbers will be in that inspection. They do, it's called random because they can't do all of the apartments, so they do a random number to see which one. And we think because of the weather, they're going to do fewer inspections than they normally would. So we're looking at probabilities. We cannot speak in terms of absolute yes or no, because as soon as we speak, you could make a different choice and everything would change. So we're listening for a moment. We think it's a very low probability. We're looking at about 35 to 40% probability that they would choose your number, your apartment number. But your anxiety over this is something you can attend to. Yeah? So look at the anxiety. They're not there to judge whether you're good or bad or right or wrong. And they have a lot of reasons for the inspection that have a lot more to do with the age of the buildings and what monies they're going to have to request for maintenance, even though they're not making a lot of improvements, but maintenance. And it has to do with their budgets. To get the money they need, they have to show a need, so they have to show what's been damaged. So, yeah, we can't get more than about a 35% probability. As far as the one who has passed, Scott, his name is Scott?
No, Charles.
Charles, pardon. Pardon, give us a moment with that.
Okay.
The first thing he says to us is, you can't make me go back for anything. Yeah, so let's just say he's happy on the other side. But he does come. You've dreamed of him, haven't you?
He comes in
dream time when you're in. He likes to come in the morning when you're almost awake. It's almost as if he lays down his energy. He like lays down beside you, and you're not quite sure if you're awake or asleep, but there's a sense of comfort that I'm not alone. And, he didn't plan to go so soon, but now that he's there, he doesn't want to come back.
We discussed that.
Well, he's letting you know, 100% don't want to come back. But he'll visit. He says he'll visit. Oh, and he says to look for him in the flowers. That's interesting. Did he have a particular flower? We're seeing something that looks long-stemmed with, I don't know, maybe a lily? Is that a long-stemmed with like a flower that kind of unfurls? Did he have a favorite plant, flower? Maybe he means to look for him in the spring. Yeah.
Okay. And could you tell him if he could wait for me for whenever my time comes and we do that together again?
Yeah. Oh, yes, because he has so many stories to share with you. He says he'll be right up front. You know, when a human is about to cross over, often they will begin to see, like catch out of the corner of the eye movement. And if they're laying down, often you see in hospital or hospice or even at home, people that are getting close to dying, you'll watch their eyes and they'll be up at the ceiling and they'll be seeing the ones who are coming to help them cross over. We're telling you that because he's volunteering to be one of the ones that comes to help you when it's your time, which is not today and not in the near future. But he'll be there to hold the door open for you. Yeah.
Okay, will we be reunited?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
That's lovely. That's lovely.
Yeah, so the message is go and love some more.
Mm-hmm.
We love that message.
Yeah.
That's Michael Tomato, coincidentally. That's pretty amazing.
Lawrence, do you have anything you'd like to add?
I would say as far as concerns about the storm go, definitely want to secure everything and batten down the hatches, but I think you're going to be okay. So that's the main message. Yeah.
That's good.
I'm not a fan of when tornadoes come along.
Michael, anything you wanted to add?
No.
Arrow covered it all.
All right. Very good. Well, Vernell, thank you so much for calling, and we look forward to talking to you next time. And in the meantime, please tell your friends about this wonderful show and all of the interesting topics that we have from time to time and the great speakers and lovely co-host. Okay?
Okay, and I thank you all for answering my questions.
You're more than
welcome.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
Okay. All right. We're just moving along here. Looks like we are with area code 330. Welcome. You're on the show with Adrian, Janet, Michael, and Lawrence. With whom am I speaking to?
Leslie from Mississippi.
Leslie, hello from Mississippi. Wonderful. And today's date, of course, is 9/22/23. Okay, Leslie, how can we be? How can we help you?
Yes, I'm still at my present employer now for almost a year and a half, and I feel that I may or may not get a promotion here in the next few weeks, and I'm looking at applying for another position at a larger higher education institution here 6 months from now. Do you see that possibility? I may be applying for another higher education position in 6 months.
Give us a moment. We're looking at all of the pathways, well, some of the pathways in front of you. We like that you like to plan ahead. It's a trait you have, and you learned it after finding that it didn't work so well when you didn't plan ahead. Give us just a moment. Yes, a lot of universities, colleges, even public education schools, private schools, they're really looking for teachers. And one of the things that you have that makes you stand out is you have the experience of teaching already, but you also have practical experience in what you teach. We're not quite certain what that is. Does it involve movement is the first thing that comes, but we're not certain. Is it language versus math? Interesting. What is it you teach?
I teach college orientation with first-year college students.
Oh, wonderful, because we kept seeing all these different topics and we couldn't imagine how you could possibly be teaching history and politics and everything all at once. So it makes more sense what we are seeing, knowing that you have a basic empathic nature, meaning that you have a sense of the person when they sit across from you. And one of the things that frustrates you is that your students will often tell you what their parents want them to study rather than what they really want to study. And you know that it's going to be a challenge. At some point, they're going to have to reconcile. Is it something that you focus on, trying to get them to see that they have choice?
Yes, that is my main line of work.
Yes.
I work with students all the time, and I have to openly listen to them and try to come up with resolutions that'll make both sides happy.
Yes, that's a wonderful way to put it, because mom and dad are writing the check, and the student obviously wants to have their own focus. So you're good at it because you're empathic, and you're just a little confused because your head will say one thing and your heart will say another, and you're often not sure which one to listen to. So we'll just share with you, it is the heart that gives the brain permission to speak. So no matter how someone across from you presents, if your heart is not at peace with the words they're saying, understand that they're not being honest. They're not being, and not that they're trying to take advantage of you or anything like that. It's that it's representing that they're not telling themselves the truth, that they're living an expectation of someone else, a society, a friend, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a lover, a parent, a grandparent, but they're not in alignment with their own best interest. Yeah. And so that's your skill in this job. So when you talk about moving to another institution, you want to do the same job?
Yes, I still want to do academic advising and
yes.
working with students, whether on the with first year or in one of the specialized academic departments or degree-granting colleges.
Yes, you're well-suited for that. And we think that this larger educational group that you're looking at is going to have the funds to help you expand your job a little bit. And what we suggest you propose, because we don't think they actually have it in place yet, is that you are given a chance to network with employers in the area to get a feedback from them of what they're looking for in college graduates and seeing if you can't start building bridges between future employment and current students.
Yes.
You have the mental aptitude, you have the emotional aptitude to handle both of those things, even though they call on different skills. And we think if presented to a university, they might already have some kind of outreach, but not specific in terms of making a personal outreach to individual employers. So it can be, if they already have the program, it could be greatly improved. Let's put it that way.
Yes, because in a week and a half, I'm going to Orlando, Florida for our major academic advising conference, and I'm going to be doing a lot of networking. And I do see myself still employed with my current position when I begin to apply and interview for these positions in the springtime
yes.
next year.
Yeah, and we agree with you waiting, because if you were to move now, jobs, it would be more lateral move. But if you wait until the spring, the sense is, there's a couple self-confidence issues you're working on resolving. And while they're not specific to your job, they do impact you in your job. Some personal relationship issues you're working through. So that
yeah.
when you want to make the move in spring, it will be an upward mobility move. Now, more money, more responsibility, and a lot more potential for growth and expansion. So listen to
mm-hmm.
your heart, everyone. You keep trying to say, yeah, but it's supposed to be this way. No, no, no. Listen to what is and not what you hope it would be. Take the rose-colored glasses off this relationship stuff, because you're only delaying and you're going to make it hurt worse if you don't attend to it now, trying to wait till later.
Yeah, because I got some places I'm looking at, like Knoxville, Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee, Cleveland, Ohio, Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Atlanta.
Yeah, we would say not Los Angeles. Your period of adjustment moving to Los Angeles would be longer and a little more challenging. We would suggest Tennessee. We would suggest
okay.
Ohio. We think that there's at this conference you're going to network, and we think you're going to get three personal contacts who are going to say, yeah, let me know when you're ready. I'm wanting to speak to you. I want to connect you with someone. So we think this conference that you're attending is going to be really a pivotal point in moving in the direction you want to change jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll be taking my business cards with me.
Yeah, good idea.
Right now in my present work, because I know I still want to build those bridges and those fences.
Yeah, so talk
Very
about your
good.
Current work. Talk about your current work, but also talk about what dreams and plans you have for improving or expanding your work responsibilities.
Yeah, I'm just refining it every week. So right now
yes.
I'm just working on some objectives for the strategic plan, and it will help me in preparation for a potential doctoral program in the next 2 to 3 years.
Yes, wonderful. We agree.
Well, Leslie, this is Adrienne, and I just wanted to tell you that is some very powerful feedback for you, and I'm so glad that you called. I'm watching the clock here, and we do have a few more callers. So what I would really love for you to do is keep in touch with us, and please provide us with some updates on your progress, because it sounds like the future is very bright.
Yes, it is.
Okay, very good. Well, thanks again for calling, and don't mean to cut you short, but that was some very, very wise words that Arrow had for you, and we look forward to catching up with you a little bit later.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right.
All right.
Have a good weekend.
Very good. Okay. You too. All right, very good. So I know before we take this next call, I know that, Michael, I wanted to circle back to you because I know you had an important question for Arrow, and I don't know if you want to take a break from callers for a couple of minutes or if you wanted to wait until later. What would you prefer? I'm asking you, Michael.
Oh, okay. I would love to ask Arrow this question.
Yeah.
I have a question for Arrow. Hi, Arrow. This is Michael.
Greetings.
Espinosa.
Greetings, Michael.
It's September 22nd, 1923. Oh my God! Where's my brain today?
Where are you?
Help me, Jesus!
We do bring a lot of energy in the environment, though. On edge.
Yeah.
Come back to the present. Come back.
Yes. You want to speak about another lifetime or this one? Yeah.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
I wanted to ask. You know, there's a lot of disruption going on in the whole world. A lot of environmental issues are coming up. A lot of change is occurring, you know, just here in the United States. Structures, old structures, and they seem like they're beginning to change, being torn down. What is occurring, and how much longer is this, I guess, maybe a transition going to take place? And is there a time frame for that?
Mm. We wouldn't say, thank you, it's a wonderful question. We wouldn't say there's a time frame so much as there is a vibrational shift occurring, and depending how quickly things move, the outcome time-wise. So yes, the old regimes are collapsing. And what's happening is people everywhere, all humans, are being given the opportunity after opportunity to make a choice between being love-based or fear-based. And in effect, humanity is beginning to divide itself between those who will be love-based. Now, in order to be love-based, you have to be in alignment, not perfectly, but you have to have a valuing of trust and truth, because those energies form the foundation to hold love in your reality. And the fear-based, what you're seeing is control, and not just small amounts of control, but I am so fearful of not knowing who I am in the midst of all this change. I've got to keep everything the same. And if it means me imposing my will upon you, so be it. I will do that. I will force you to be what I need you to be. And this is playing out everywhere. And it's bringing old imbalances up, not to beat you up with them, but because you cannot heal without an awareness of what you want to heal. And so the pain has to be released and the fear has to be released. And then you choose again. You're going to choose fear. All right. You're going to fill it up and then you're going to have a chance to choose it again or release it and choose love. And in the meantime, those that are choosing to be love-based are, well, let's talk about the ones that are stuck in the middle, yeah? They're fearful and reaching for love, or they're loving and falling into fear. And what's happening is those are the people that go, I want to believe in love, I want to trust, but I have to defend myself from the evil and the bad and the wrong, right? Well, as soon as the concept of defense comes up, you're fear-based. So the only way to leave fear is to choose to trust. They're polarities. They cannot exist together in the same moment of time. The example we give is like two magnets. You cannot force magnets that don't want to connect. The harder you push them together, the more they push apart. And that's what's happening in your world on a vibrational level. So your politics is coming apart. You're seeing it. It has to come to the place of what we call ridiculous, where it is so obvious to everyone that it is non-functional. And more every day, people are just waking up and going, it can't go on like this. This is ridiculous. Nothing's been resolved. And truly, nothing's been resolved. And you're beginning to see politicians, not just in the United States, but across the planet, pushing their personal agendas more and more and more. Because in order to stay in power, I have to be in control. And in order to be in control, I have to impose my will. And so, again, you have fear-based. And your money system, people get afraid when we say this. Please, 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 trust. Yes, the money system is going to collapse, but it's not going to be in such a way that everyone is suddenly broke and only certain people with diamonds and gold bars and crypto are going to be able to eat. No. It's not going to be like that. You know, years ago, your money changed. You had a completely different, you didn't have little pieces of paper that you could hold up to light and it'll say a 20 or 50 or 100. And when those new bills came out, people were suspicious. It looks different. The pictures are different. And it took a while to transition into accepting this new currency. It's going to be rather like that. It's going to be like when Europe combined their currency to create the euro, right? It was chaotic, it was confusing, but nobody lost everything and had to live in the streets and go hungry. It's a process of controlled chaos, if you want to think of it that way. So your religious structures are collapsing. Just incredible, the information coming out about the abuses and the misuses and, you know, these humans always want to seem to abdicate responsibility, especially when they're fearful. And the last thing I want to try to figure out is how am I supposed to respond? I don't know how to respond. You look smart. You look good in a suit. You seem to know what you're doing. You take care of me and I'll vote for you. I'll support your agenda. And you're seeing it everywhere, in religion, with money, with politics. It's happening in your food distribution systems. It's happening in your medical. So it's not all going to collapse at once. You're not all going to wish you had a cave in the Rockies stockpiled with canned goods. No. What's happening is your world is asking you to respond and to choose. You can have tremendous impact by choosing to trust. We say all the time to those we work with, the most important thing you can choose to be right now is okay not knowing. Because as soon as you have to know the outcome of anything, you've locked it down into a fixed position, and now it's fear-based. If you have to know what is this going to be, you're going to lock it in into something that later, if it no longer serves you, you're going to have to do all the work to break it down again. So, yes, people are very uncomfortable trusting, but it is the way out. It is the way shower. It is the way to find your truth. So better not to know, better to keep trusting, better to keep taking in as much information as you can. But we also teach anyone that wants to know, a very basic exercise. It'll take about 1 minute for us to share it. Do we have that time to share?
Yes.
Yes? All right. So what we tell our students and all of you who wish to know is to sit. You know, we call it the I-beam, where the spine is supported and the shoulders are open and the hips are open, like an I. And we ask that you become aware of the crown, the very top of your head. And if you know the chakra system, it's easy to find. And if you don't, just find the approximate center of your head. And then you imagine from a place that you cannot see a drop. And it lands right there on the, oh, that was interesting. What was that? And another drop, and another drop. And pretty soon, it becomes a little steady stream. Now, some people are saying, I can't feel it. Imagine it. And that is a powerful thing to do. Do not discount your imagination. It is the language of your soul. Never, never discount your imagination. So now you've got the steady stream, and you begin to realize that it's now dripping inside the body. It's going through, and it's like drip, drip, dripping. And a little steady stream right down the center of you, out into the earth. And imagine the earth welcoming it. The light of God, Goddess, all that is coming through you, a physical form, so that the light can have impact. It has to come through a physical form and then into the earth itself. You see, before all of you were born, this generation, these generations that are alive now, God said, will you volunteer to bring light to earth? And you all said, yes, of course. And then you forgot when you were born. So this helps you remember how to be powerful. When you can control nothing else, you can control this, allowing the light to drop through the body, allowing the earth to receive it, and then as soon as it touches the earth, it begins to expand. This drip becomes bigger, broader, until within moments you're standing in a column of light. In this column of light, everything you no longer want, you want your fear to be gone, feed it to the light. You want that ache in your shoulder gone, ask the light to clear the joint. You want the organs to be strengthened, ask the light to clear the organs, bring health, bring peace, bring love, freedom. And all the time, the earth is responding by lifting her energy up to embrace you as well. It's a powerful way to feel at peace in your world amidst all the chaos. Chaos holds all possibilities. So it holds the possibilities of creating the bright, beautiful future that you're seeking. Trust, truth, love, light. Those are your tools in this chaotic time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Most of them.
I think that's
yes,
very powerful.
Indeed.
Yeah, for us and all the listeners, this is great. Thank you.
Love it. Well, we've got probably time to take one more call, a quick one, before we begin to wrap things up. So what do we call this, the lightning round?
Yeah.
Yeah, just love that. So let's go ahead and hello there. You're on Psychic Funhouse with Janet, Adrian, Michael, and Lawrence. And I've got area code 914. With whom am I speaking to?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah. Who am I speaking to?
Great. My name is Eddie.
Eddie? Okay, yeah. Eddie. Yeah, well, glad that you called. And so today's date, of course, is 9/22/2023. And where are you calling from, Eddie?
Well, I'm currently in the Carolinas, but I'm from Westchester, New York.
Okay, very good. Mm-hmm. How can we help you this evening?
Yeah, I just want to see if there's any particular messages from me, for me, from Spirit.
Absolutely.
I like what
she
was speaking to, how spirit works through her. I've been listening to the whole program.
Wonderful. Yeah. Are you before Arrow responds, are you a new caller? Is this your first time?
Yes.
Yeah, well, wonderful. So glad that you made that decision to call us, and we're here every Friday night. So that being said, please, Arrow, go ahead, and if you would, help Eddie, please.
Greetings, Eddie. You are one we hoped would show up tonight. When our channel suggested that we do this group event, we knew that there was one who was looking and seeking, and now we have responded to your call. Upon hearing your name, we felt at the base of our channel's heart a clenching, a fear. We think that as a child, you were like our channel. Do you remember having unseen friends?
And
you were separated from them, yes?
Yeah, yes.
Did you feel, because we sent the clenching at the base of the heart to us represents fear of abandonment. Why did they leave me? What happened? What did I do wrong that they would go away? Is this your truth as a child?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Wonderful. Thank you for that confirmation. So what we want you to do is realize you did no wrong thing. The love and the connection are right there waiting for you to claim. We think what happened is there was a masculine presence, a man we don't know, father, stepfather, uncle, grandfather, authoritative, who basically said to you, stop talking nonsense, and would spank you. And he thought it was a weakness, like you made up stories to get out of whatever, even though it made no sense that you would have no reason to lie. He just, do you remember this? Is this your truth?
Yeah, it was an uncle.
Yeah, all right. So you were frightened, and sometimes the fear is so great that you close the door. You close the door of connection. And spirit cannot counter you. In other words, you, all of you, every human consciousness, you are the creator of your reality. We know you don't quite understand what that means yet, but you own your life. But in your society teaches you to give away power to parents, to schools, to teachers, to policemen, to everything, anything outside of self. And you feel, we think, ashamed that you shut them out, and that kept you from asking them to come back in. So what we want to do right now, because your time is short with us, not on the life, not only, you have many decades ahead if you choose, but right now, if you will do it with us, you know where your heart is, right in the center of the heart chakra and the throat?
Mm-hmm.
You know that? We want your permission to come. We want to come to what we call the high heart. It is the space between your heart and your throat. You're already feeling that warmth, aren't you?
Yes.
Like a hand on your high heart. Warm, yes?
Yes.
Yes, and it's spreading now into the belly. The solar plexus is lifting up. You're feeling a little warm in the chest? It's all right. Just say the words.
Yes.
It's a little hard to find them this minute, isn't it? That's the energy. Invite them in. They want in. They just need your permission to come back. They need your permission to reconnect. Just say yes.
Yes.
Yes, all right. So now what you're going to feel is that warmth, perhaps all the way into your back. Warm in the front, warm in the back. And what we're doing is we're basically reconnecting them to the back of your heart chakra, which is where all guides that are with you through the life are connected. Oh, Eddie, life is not going to be the same going forward. You have been hiding your truth for such a long time, living by other people's rules, feeling so shut down, starting to wonder, why am I here? What good am I in this world where I don't fit, where I don't belong? All that now can drop away, and you will have a chance to find joy in this life now. Yes. It's going to be different, Dylan. We're so grateful you called. We're so grateful you took this risk. We're so grateful you gave us permission to touch you and allow the spirits to come back. It's going to take time for that to grow, like a plant. You put the seed in the soil. It takes a while before the sun warms it and it breaks open. Be patient. Be patient. We think tonight you will dream of him. Thank you, dear one. We're so delighted with your presence.
Thank you, and I welcome you, and I appreciate it.
Mm. Your throat's going to change. Words are going to become so much easier. It's going to become so much easier to share your words, your truth. Oh, it's like a cap coming off a bottle that's been closed too long. We're so happy and excited for you.
Mm. Awesome.
Thank you.
So exciting. Eddie, thank you so very much for calling in. We welcome you back every Friday evening to chat with us, to ask questions, to share with us. And what we're going to do now, because we technically are out of time, but as we wrap this up, Janet is going to provide her contact information, and so you may want to write it down so that you can continue some work with Arrow. And thank you again, and please keep in touch with us. So, with that being said, I just want to thank all of the callers and people listening. I want to say, Janet and Arrow, thank you for just a remarkable and powerful evening. I was wondering, Janet, if you would please share with the callers one more time your contact information if they want to schedule an appointment with you.
Wonderful. I prefer texting because I use my phone during my work. So 949-547-8204. My email is janarrow, J-A-N-A-E-R-O, at cox.net. You can also work with me or listen and ask questions via Zoom if you want to attend OC Heart Space Fair this coming Saturday the 30th. Reach out for more information. Thank you. It's been fun tonight.
Wonderful. And Michael, how do people reach you if they would like to connect and schedule a session with you?
You can go to my website at michaeljespinoza.com. How about you, Lawrence? How can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, they can call or text me at 541-344-7534. My email is givingtree@earthlink.net. Facebook is Giving Tree Farm Herbs, and my website is givingtreefarm.com. Adrian?
My website, ravenmessages.com, and or phone number, area code 714-376-7289. I'm available to do phone sessions as well as Zoom.
So with that, Michael, you want to close us out?
I just want to thank our special guest, Janet and Arrow, for being here with us and sharing your talents, your gifts, your work with us. And and thank you to the my co-host, Laurence Birch, and also Adrian Stratton, and to thank all the spirit guides for being here and our callers. Thank you all for spending your Friday evening with us. And please join us next week, Friday, 6 p.m. Pacific time. And we'd love to have you join us. Be sure to like us on our page here at Psychic Funhouse on blogtalkradio.com. Thank you, everybody.
Wonderful. Okay. All right. Bye. Thanks again. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Bye. Bye.
Arrivederci.